bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kabu.fm. The nominating committee meets on the second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kabu.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Here we go again, it's the game we love.
Tune in on the first and third Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m. for Winner's Bias, a new show exploring the culture around tabletop gaming. From game nights to conventions, Nate and James share what makes the hobby so vibrant through banter and interviews with local members of the hobby game scene. And if we can inspire a few listeners to join us around the table, all the better. More people to play with. Winner's Bias. You don't have to win to have fun, but it doesn't hurt. The first and third Tuesday of the month at 11 a.m.
Spring is in the air. The world is getting ready for its annual revival of itself. Embrace Mother Nature on that journey with the help of psychedelic rock to ricochet you through time. Turn on and tune in Friday, March 13th at 8 p.m. with me, Katie Zip. Only on Double Groove. Only on KABU 90.7 FM.
Pacifica Radio in San Francisco. This is Flashpoints with Miguel Cabela Molina. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. Today, we're going to have a special report from Gloria LaRiva, who reports from Cuba on Trump's latest plans for U.S. intervention in that country. Also, Richard Becker, co-founder of Answer Coalition, analyzes the growing resistance to Trump's wars. Becker says Answer Coalition is part of a growing opposition movement to Trump's imposition of authoritarian rule. All this and more coming up straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. This is your daily investigative news magazine. We come to you every weekday from 5 to 6 over the Pacifica Radio Network. That's the People's Radio Network, founded in 1949 by folks who went to a jail to resist the kinds of wars we're seeing right now. But they saw the importance of giving us this beautiful, scrappy network, and we will utilize it today as we do every day here on Flashpoints. Joining us is our own Miguel Gabriel Molina. And Miguel, we welcome Mr. Richard Becker, Dick Becker, co-founder of Answer Coalition. As you know, Miguel is on the forefront of organizing against this expanding monster of a war. Dick, why don't you just take a quick shot both at where you think the war is, how dangerous a situation we're in now, and what the growing opposition looks like.
Well, thanks, Dennis. Thanks for having me on. you know, it's a very, very dangerous moment that we're in, and I think I think everyone who's paying attention can see that. You know, if we just to put things in a short historical perspective, Trump ordered the kidnapping of Nicolas Maduro, the president, the elected president of Venezuela, on January 3rd. And now, at the beginning of March, less than 2 months later, he and his partners in the Israeli government and military, assassinate the leaders of another head of state. And, you know, and then in between then, they talk about they're going to take over Cuba. And it's pretty astounding. And then right in the middle of all that, Trump declares that the United States is no longer going to have emissions control over climate, you know, things that are most damaging to the climate, particularly emissions, which have been reduced by over 90% since the emission controls were enacted. And, you know, you have to ask a question when you see this happening and you see this individual who seems quite deranged being able to make decisions that so incredibly impact on the people. You have to ask the question of what kind of government is this that we live under? Is this a democracy? No. And they all say, oh, no, it's a democracy. It's a republic. But it's not either. It's really more and more the dictatorship of the rich about the things that are important. But as you said at the beginning, and as we have been saying, the really millions of people are engaged in resistance of one form or another to this. And that is of the greatest importance. It's only the intervention of the people that can stop this.
That's the voice of Dick Becker, who is the co-founder of Answer Coalition, and he's been in the middle of major organizing. You know, Dick, you say, I'm just looking at this piece from Mothers Against Genocide, and it's about the blowing up of, you know, various refineries and creating catastrophic situations for the people on the ground where the oil's mixing with the air. And this is becoming a deadly way in which we haven't even seen in the former wars against these countries. So it's very dangerous. Also joining us now, Dick, and somebody has got a lot of questions for you and a lot of thoughts about what's going on, is our own Miguel Gavilan Molina. Gavilan, are you there?
Absolutely, Dennis. Thank you, Richard, for joining us. One of my biggest concerns, you know, as we see the situation, you know, just out of control, that there's no checks and balances at all. And at this point, it's amazing, Richard, you know, that the cost of this, I've heard that on a daily basis, it's costing $1 billion, and I've heard up to $1.7 billion a day, you know, for this operation. And yet here, you know, food stamps are being cut. There's schools are closing up and down the state, across the country, because there's no money. The Department of Education was completely dismantled. So where is this money coming? It's coming from the taxes. What can we do as a citizenry, you know, to push back against this? You know, to say, wait a second, you know, our money is funding this outrageous, unauthorized, unconstitutional, illegal war. What do you think, Richard? And one of the things that I thought and people have brought up to me is that eventually, you know, this country is going to have to get into like a major general strike and shut down the country. What do you think about that?
Well, that's what we need. We need that kind of mass action. And I think we're moving in that direction. I think we could see movement in that direction in Minneapolis, where two Fridays in a row, there were massive walkouts that took place on January 23rd and January 30th. So it's reintroduced the idea of the general strike into popular discussion, the discussion that's going on about where this is all headed politically. And, you know, and I should mention in talking about the last couple months, we should not forget that the genocide against the Palestinians in Gaza continues, completely supported, fully supported by the United States. You know, one thing that I think is worth thinking about in terms of the system itself is that when the Constitution was written, the framers of it, who are so glorified, who are merchant capitalists and plantation owners, but there was they saw Congress as the main instrument of the government, and because it was when capitalism was in its early stage, it was very split up between different capitalist interests. But what the situation, what has evolved over the last 100 years, is really monopoly capitalism and imperialism as the form of the system, where a smaller and smaller part of the ruling elite is really controlling things. And we're saying that today, the agenda, the billionaire's agenda, and the billionaire's agenda, and the this concentration of wealth means it's not so necessary to have, you know, the different elements of the ruling class, of the capitalist class represented, because that's the ones who are really running the show are a very tiny, very consolidated group. And so we had, that's the, I think, the reality of what we're seeing, and this dictatorship where the president can just declare things that have vast destabilizing and atrocious results on the population. We're talking about war, we're talking about the climate, destroying the climate, we're talking about destroying food stamps for millions of people and other things that are keeping people alive. And it's, there's got to be the general strikes. There's got to, that's got to come back, and it is coming back. And we'll see, I think, you know, later this month and a couple of weeks, there'll be another one of the, you know, King's Days. We have to all mobilize for that. On May Day, there's a May Day strong movement across the country to make May Day back into the real Workers' Day. That'll be another important date. You know, it's, there's nothing that can take the place of people's action. And people, you know, we should think about what, how people are suffering in Iran. Black rain falling from the skies because they bombed the oil refineries. I mean,
let me read you, Richard. Sorry, let me interrupt for a moment. I want to read you a little bit more while I mentioned this piece from Mothers Against Genocide. Just a little bit. We all remember Gulf War syndrome that everybody denied, but just listen to this in terms of the bombing of the oil refinery. Burning petroleum releases sulfur and nitrogen oxides that mix with the rain to form sulfuric and nitric acid, essentially turning rainfall toxic. When Saddam Hussein burned Kuwaiti oil wells in 91, the fallout contributed to what became known as Gulf War syndrome. You remember that thing? And everybody was, the veterans were getting sick all over the place. And you remember the amount of denials and the level of denials. I mean, it was like it became a whole ritual to deny the fact that these thousands of veterans, and a lot of them are still sick, Richard. But this is only the beginning of what's going to happen if this goes the way Trump wants it to go.
Yeah, there's no question. And, you know, they fought against that because it showed the real regard that the commander-in-chief and his cabal, what they really think about the soldiers. You know, they're all for supporting them and praising them and all that, but they don't want to have to provide any benefits for them when they come back sick or injured from the war. And it took a huge struggle to get benefits for the Gulf War syndrome. And, you know, it's very instructive in terms of how they really, and that's why I think it's very important for us to also reach out to the rank and file soldiers and say, you know, those people who told you that you must not follow illegal orders, and we should reach out with that message as well, because they are really cannon fodder, whether they understand it or not, at this particular moment. And I think many, many do, and many, many have been applying for conscientious objector status not to go to this war.
Again, you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're speaking with Dick Becker of Answer Coalition. Answer is in the middle of many protests and a major resistance movement that is burgeoning across this country. We should say later on in this broadcast, we're going to be going to Havana, I believe, and speaking with Gloria LaRiva about what the situation is on the ground there. There have been protests from border to border and coast to coast. And again, as I say, Dick Becker, and the work you're doing, you're in the middle of this. Are you more hopeful, Dick? In a little bit, we're going to hear some sounds from, I know, a protest in San Francisco that you all or Answer had a lot to do with. But where's your hope at this point?
Well, Well, we have to have hope. We can't continue without that. And it's a difficult situation. It's a dangerous situation. It's a menacing situation. But, you know, it's not the first time we've faced such situations as a people. And then going back, you know, it's been going on since the beginning of the United States, and even before it was, you know, the struggles have gone on. What's really critical right now is, for millions of people have come into political life over the last year or a couple of years, and we have to keep at it. We have to be steadfast. You know, the Arabic word is sumud, which I'm probably not pronouncing correctly, but meaning steadfastness. We have to be steadfast. We cannot say, oh, we are tired. No, this is an existential battle that's going on, meaning the rights of the people are in danger. And I mean economic rights, political rights. The group in Washington who's at the helm now, and hopefully they won't be forever, and they won't be forever for sure, but their aim is the Project 2025. Well, that's what we're seeing play out. The pretense that Trump didn't know about it was just that, just a pretense. They want to turn back the clock 100 years. They want to go back to the 1920s, before there was Social Security or food stamps or the right to have a union or the right for black people to vote in much of the country or to have any civil rights that was still Jim Crow. We should think about that, that when we think how bad the situation is now, how bad the situation was then. Well, the struggles of people brought about changes, brought about new rights, brought about new benefits. The crew in Washington now wants to turn it back, and they want to turn it back a century, and it's only the people who can stop it.
Gavilan, final thoughts for Dick Becker.
Just real quick, Richard, and that's, you know, I've been asked over the weekend if this war is going to lead to, like, nuclear war. And I've heard, you know, the wind-up toy action G.I. Joe, you know, Hesed, say it, you know. Oh, just wait. We got a surprise, such a wave that nobody can imagine. So, and I'm wondering, and I've heard, you know, the sexual predator, you know, convicted felon, you know, in the Oval Office say it a couple of times. Yeah, we can nuke, and we can do this, we can do that. That is frightening to me. And I've been asked that, and I don't have an answer. You know, what do you see? Is that a possibility, Richard? I know that's a hard question to ask you, but we have someone that completely controls the military.
And the Israelis have all those nuclear bombs. The Israelis have right. The capacity. They're already threatening. It's already reverberating in the region. What do you think, Dick? Do you worry about it? Gavilan raises the ultimate fear.
Well, I don't think the Israelis can do it without, for something of that magnitude, without the go ahead from Washington. But, you know, it would be foolish and kind of lighthearted to say that it's impossible. It's not impossible. Trump has the power to do it. I think that the fear that they have, and the reason that they haven't done it before, they didn't do it in Vietnam when they were losing the war, was they worried about the world would rise up against them. It's a real danger. It would be foolish to say otherwise. But again, the only thing that can stop it is the people intervening in the political process, in politics in general, and having a movement that's strong enough to keep that from happening. That's the hope. That is really the hope.
And do you have a problem with, say, for instance, the way the so-called liberal networks are covering the war?
Oh, it's disgusting. That's very hard to watch. I mean, like CNN, and, you know, there's no question about the what is on the face of it, the worst form of war crime we're seeing committed, Class A war crime. They'll say a choice, a war of choice, but the correct words for that are Class A war crime, meaning the war crimes that were committed and what they were convicted of, the Nazi leaders, and a dozen of them paid the ultimate price for that. And that is starting a war against a country that does not threaten you. It's called a crime against peace. That's the crime against peace is considered the most serious, form of war crime, because everything that follows, the crimes against humanity, the war crimes themselves, the abuses, the atrocities, they all flow from that crime, which is kind of the original sin international law, that the violation that is in the committing of a war of aggression. And it's never mentioned. It's never put that way. It's only put in this, if it's mentioned at all, it's just war of choice. It's something much more than that.
It's unbelievable. And they're all, the big dialogue is, will they have a big invasion or a little invasion? And the wisdom is that they should only send the shock troops in to, what, I don't know, find the nuclear spots and collect the radioactive. It's the most bizarre situation I've ever seen. Me and Gavilan appreciate you joining us, Dick Becker, and all the incredible work that Answer is doing. How do people get more information about Answer Coalition, about what you're up to and where you're, what you have in mind?
Well, we have to continue right now building the movement. Many, many Iranian Americans came out on Saturday and joined the anti-war demonstration. A very large number. And
we're going to have a report right after you finish speaking. Go on.
Okay. Well, and then Friday at 3:00 at the Embarcadero, this coming Friday, some of the religious organizations are going to be having a demonstration at Embarcadero. We're going to support it. Everyone should support it. I'm sure they're welcome. I know they welcome the support because they brought it up at the Saturday demonstration. People can also go to answercoalition.org. answercoalition.org and see the list of where demonstrations have been taking place around the country. And of course, people can tune into KPFA and get the latest on what's happening.
So beautiful. Thank you.
Now's the time to keep going forward.
Thank you, Dick Becker. Dennis Bernstein here with Miguel Gavilan Molina. What we're going to do right now is we're going to go to some sound from that protest that Dick Becker talked about. Our own Kevin Pena was on the street taking notes and having his microphone turned up loud. Listen to this.
This is Kevin Pena reporting from San Francisco for Flashpoints News. It was a beautiful day at San Francisco's waterfront Embarcadero Plaza, where hundreds of people showed up on Saturday to protest the ongoing U.S.-Israeli bombing campaign in Iran, now entering its second week. Organized by the Answer Coalition, protesters made it clear they opposed the thousands of U.S.-made bombs now being dropped by U.S. and Israeli military forces on Tehran and across that country amid reports of mounting civilian casualties. Seema Shaksari, a professor for the University of Minnesota College of Liberal Arts, was on hand to articulate the demands of the protesters.
San Francisco, make some noise!
Money for jobs and education!
Not for wars and occupation!
Not for war and occupation!
Hi all, my name is Seema, and I'm here from Minnesota, and I have seen what ICE has done to our communities in Minnesota. The United States of America is in no position to free the Iranian people when the U.S. is killing our own people in the United States. The war they have waged on the people of Iran and in Lebanon is costing your tax dollars $850 million a day. Wrap your heads around that, $850 million a day. That is $90 billion in just 2 months. And the way they're going to keep carpet bombing the people of Iran, killing people for U.S. profit and for the Israeli expansionist project. Shame on them! I have family in Iran. I haven't heard from them since Sunday. I don't know if they're dead or alive. I just keep thinking, checking, and see if they see my messages, but nothing. My niece is a doctor in Iran saving lives, but the shameless people who are endorsing a war on Iran are accusing people like my niece, people who are against the war on Iran, of being regime collaborators. Shame on them!
Shame!
Shame on those who are endorsing a war on Iran that has killed to date near 2,000. The official number is around 1,350, but that is only the numbers that have been confirmed. There are people still under rubble. They're bombing schools, they're bombing hospitals, they're bombing water plants. They have cut water to 30 villages in Iran. They have bombed UNESCO historical sites. They have bombed infrastructure. Is that how they're going to bring freedom to Iran? Freedom doesn't fall from the sky with bombs.
A counter-protest of Iranians waving monarchist flags supporting the son of the former Shah of Iran, Reza Pahlavi II, approached the edge of the anti-war protest, praising Trump by chanting USA over and over again, and chants of thank you Trump, and advocating for a U.S. ground invasion. The San Francisco Police Department broke up a scuffle between the two groups, and the pro-monarchists were forced back to a safe distance away from the anti-war demonstration. This has been Kevin Pina reporting from San Francisco for Flashpoints News.
And you are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. And we've got Miguel Gabriela Molina on the line. We are trying to reach Gloria LaRiva. And when we do, we will bring her. She's on the ground in Cuba. I believe she's in Havana. We're hoping to connect with her at about 5:30. Again, Dennis here with Miguel and Gavilan. How are you doing?
Well, getting ready, Dennis, actions. Tomorrow, this coming Thursday, for all folks that are interested in a spiritual way, it is the 12th of March, Thursday, March the 12th, begins Mexica Mayan Indigenous New Year. Last week we had the Chinese New Year and the whole Lunar New Year celebrations, the year of the Fire Horse. Well, a week later, it's the New Year celebration for Mexica Mayan people, and particularly Chicanos and Chicanas throughout the United States. It's a big day. It marks the start of our year, and this year will be the year, I believe, of the one rabbit. Gathering. I'm sorry, Dennis. Yes?
No. Yeah, it's one rabbit. I was actually just reading up on that. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be happening in San Francisco. I believe there'll be a sunrise ceremony in the mission, and that will begin the new year, the start. In the Indian, Mexica, Mayan, Indian calendar, we have 13 months. And so the next, the beginning of the solstice, spring, renewal, rebirth, regeneration, we embrace that. But we're also prepared for war. The war that's now, this country is the perpetuator and the predator nation around the world, just invading, attacking, threatening, kidnapping. I mean, unbelievable things, you know, that completely is counter to civil society and peace and harmony. This administration is out of control. So there's going to be, like I said, a gathering. And then this weekend, Dennis, there'll be a massive celebration on Saturday and Sunday, which will be the 14th and 15th in San Jose. And people can go online. I believe it's the largest New Year's, Mexica Mayan New Year's celebration outside of Mexico City. So a lot of energy, a lot of hope as people of the sun children of the sun, people of the corn, and salt of the earth. We know what war is. And this country and this government has always waged wars against our population. Now we have a low-intensity domestic war here, but it's spilling over because people aren't buying it. You know, we're our people's neighbors. You know, we're part of communities. We're part of the very fabric which determines a democratic, you know, society. And we're part of that. And people know that and get that. So that said, Dennis, a lot going on. We're getting ready for March the 28th, which will be No King's Day. And, you know, we're going to be dealing with this unbelievable you know, situation facing the planet. The most dangerous individual on Earth is this, you know, this person in the Oval Office, convicted felon, you know, a sexual predator. And, you know, he's taking that predator nature of his, and now he's going at countries and nations, no authorization, no constitutional authority, no congressional approval. He just does what he wants to do. Well, he needs to be stopped, and I think the people are rising and organizing, like Richard Becker said. People are starting to plan for May Day. May Day is the International Labor Day around the planet, and it's going to be massive. And if we can get 10 to 12, 15 million people out for May Day, and maybe even for No King's Day, that's going to send shockwaves, you know, to the White House. And that's what needs to happen. And people power. This is what the station is about, people power. People power keep, you know, freedom waves alive. And, you know, yourself, Dennis, myself, the crew of Flash Onda will be getting ready to hit the streets on March 28th and also on May Day. So that said, you know, we have hope, which burns like a radiant lies, you know, light within our hearts. So we're going to keep radiating. We're going to keep pushing the light against the darkness. And the more of us turn out as a human family, as a human race, it's at this point, it could be to save the planet against this unbelievable, out of control, you know, administration that occupies the White House.
Let's do some business on the air, Gavilan. I want to talk to you a little bit about Barbara Lubin, who was family to you, who was an inspiration to the show, who was the founder of the Middle East Children's Alliance. Could you talk a little bit about Barbara? And I think we're going to get another number from Gloria. It's tough to get through to Cuba, but we're going to get to her. So that's coming up as well. You got it, Gavilan.
Well, Barbara Lubin, you know, was an ally, a dear friend, also the grandmother to my children. And it was someone that, you know, I respected, someone that I admired. And, you know, in some ways, she was the way I you know, saw her in my sphere of the world. She supported the United Farm Workers. At one point, she had Dolores Huerta and Cesar Chavez there on the footsteps of her home in Berkeley doing a press conference. So she was behind those movements. She was also behind the American Indian movement and worked with Bill Means and Tone Gonzalez to bring Rigoberta Menchú, who received the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, so she was very, very involved with indigenous groups, not just here, but also in the Middle East. In some ways, I saw her in a kind of like a situation where she was, to me, the queen of Berkeley, of the Republic of Berkeley. And queen in the sense, not of monarchy, but like the queen bee that takes care of the entire hive. Every member of that community is taken care of or reached out to or concerned with and embraced. And that's how I saw her, and I supported her. We, you know, many, many times passed the microphone to her, either myself as an MC or someone else, or doing the work with Flash Onda, you know, sitting down talking about the Middle East. And in my community, La Raza, the indigenous, the Chicano, Chicana communities, in some ways, flashpoints became what we call amongst La Raza, you know, on the flip side of flashpoints is Radio Palestina. you know, Radio Free Palestine. And it's something that we've always shared, myself and others amongst the Chicano movements, you know, with the Palestinians. We see them along, you know, myself and others, and AIM has always seen the Palestinians in the Middle East as the natives, basically the Native Americans of that area, Palestine. So there's this massive bond, and she helped to really, you know, really fortify that. And you know, I will always support those efforts and support, you know, the efforts that are happening even now with MECA. And, of course, the real important entity that keeps it moving forward, and that is Alliance Graphics. And I just want to throw a shout-out to Howard Levine and all the familia.
It was beautiful. The celebration was powerful. Guess what? We're now going to go to Cuba. We're joined by Gloria La Riva, who is on the ground there. Gloria, I'm glad we managed to contact you. Trump and all his minions have been attacking Cuba and talking about this new day for Cuba. How is that playing on the ground there? Give us an update on what the reverberations are coming from the ground and what people are thinking and doing.
Well, thank you, Anthony. I've been here for a few days, and I was also here the week before. I've been here quite a lot because as part of the Archway project, we want to see what we can do to help on the ground with a lot of people around the world who are now coming to the aid of Cuba. Very, very hard. Since the January 29 executive order of Trump that said that any country that provides oil will be sanctioned and, of course, perhaps face military action, no oil has come into Cuba. And with heroic efforts, the system is kind of on its running on a shoestring. The other day, the system went down in the western two-thirds of the country for over a day because the great Antonio Guterres thermoelectric plant, the biggest one in the country, failed. It didn't have enough oil. It's back up now, but every day it's crippled. I'm talking to a lot of friends. I go visit my friends. They're in the dark, walking down the street. It's black for room. You know, solar panels people might have, or some solar lamp in the house. However, you also hear people talking to each other at night, playing dominoes by the light of a phone. People here maintain, but it is very hard. The food production has to now be very localized. And, you know, this is a sudden move with the cutoff of oil in order to be able to transport the food that now can't happen. So it takes a while to grow food. That's a big urgency. The government is employing every means that it can for the doctors and the nurses and other workers to get to work with no buses, no personal transport, because there is no gasoline. There are no electric buses that are being employed in order to take the doctors and nurses from their municipality into the city to the hospital. The shortage of medicine is great. It is just practically no medicine. But I want to make it clear, the healthcare system of Cuba is not full enough. The doctors, nurses, and the rest of the staff continue to come to work every day, doing everything in their power to save lives and administer preventive care. But what is causing the crisis is a systematic shutting down of every source of Cuba's foreign income, what the immigrants have to import raw material and produce their own medicine. But even they cannot produce because the raw material has been cut off. So as you saw these last few days, the MECA and Ecuador and Honduras have expelled the Cuban doctors. And Cuba, in Ecuador 2 days ago, cut off relations with Cuba and expelled the Cuban ambassador and withdrew its own ambassador from Havana. They're, you know, playing along with the United States and that so-called mini summit that took place in Miami this weekend, where all these presidents who are taking a very servile stance toward Trump. Milei, for example, Bukele of El Salvador. They're just marching lockstep with him. So this is a serious matter. The Cubans are very worried, but there's different responses and attitudes. I met three men last Sunday, and their car was not working because one of them wasn't working, which is a taxi, because they hadn't been able to run the car. There were 10 days without gasoline, so the battery runs down. And they opened up the hood, and I was asking them, how's it going? And they said, you know, we're going to get by because it's prohibited to resign to the United States. Not even like someone's ordering them, it's just, we won't do that. And the man pointed to his, and he said, there's several countries in this car. That's how we survive. Then I met a man in the street. A man who takes every little bit of medicine he can gather from donations and takes them to doctors and people. And there was an older man, 63, who has AIDS. He has had one leg amputated because he has a serious case of diabetes. And his second leg is about to be amputated. He didn't have a blood glucose meter, so we brought one along with the little test strips. And he was so thrilled, but he looked at my camera, and he said, my father was a revolutionary, and he would be ashamed at some of the people who were acting against Cuba. And he said, my life was saved. I was 38 days in intensive care. I owe everything to the revolution. And then you have people complaining who, you know, they talk about how hard it is. Everybody talks about how hard it is. When you're completely in the dark with your children, you can't see in front of your face. And that's why around the world, you know, including the People's Forum in New York, along with ANSWER Coalition, Code Pink, a lot of people are gathering money, almost 300,000 now. They're going to be bringing larger solar panel parts and batteries to the hospitals. We will be bringing solar panels from the Atre project to families who are in need. We just went today to Guanabacoa, which is a very far away municipality of Havana, very remote, pretty much in the countryside. And we visited a young boy. He has been unconscious since he was born. He's 10 years old. He's in his bed. He has to be fed through his stomach. And his mother's with him 24 hours. He's been there for 10 years. And when there's constant blackout in their, as in their house, like the rest of the country, it gets hot and her son goes into convulsions. He has constant epilepsy episodes all day. And he needs electricity. He needs his medical devices to keep running. We're going to bring the system for him. But the U.S. is killing people. The U.S. is killing children, adults, older people. This is deliberate. This is a genocide.
Wow. We're speaking with Gloria Lariva. Where exactly are you? Are you in Havana? And what's next for the trip? Will you be going back and forth, continuing to try and bring aid?
I've been back and forth, going to Miami and then coming back to Miami to be able to have access to certain websites, like ordering medicine. We've had a really wonderful birth of support. The Puerto Rican Ostosiana movement, they called us last week. They said, we're going to help you with Cuban children with cancer. They donated $25,000, and I immediately bought $30,000 worth of medicine, because we had medicine. We're going to send them to get back Wednesday. I'll stay in Miami for a day, buy three solar systems to bring back. We saw a children's home. They're called the Children's Home Without Family Support. This is, there are kids who are orphaned. There are kids whose parents are unable to take care of their child if they're, you know, mental illness or prison or other issues like this, or cannot take care of their child. And we went to this home. I've been to several. They're the same everywhere. We don't know the differences. But the director is called the mother. They call her mama. She takes care of kids from an infant to 7 years. You go to the rooms, beautiful rooms, and there's a big rocking chair in each room in the middle of the beds. I said, who sits there? They said, every night a woman is here 7 days a week. You know, they take care of, they're there every night to be with the kids.
They never leave them alone at night. After 7, they go to another school, another home. It's incredible. There's like a whole staff of about 10 people, a dietitian, a nurse, you know, the director, the social worker, everything. There's a little boy, 4 years old. He has a very, very serious disease called Hunter syndrome. He can't hear. He doesn't have long in his life, but they just love him so much. He's 4, and it was very heartening and heartbreaking to meet him.
Gloria, can you move? Can you shift your head? Sure. Gloria, I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you sort of move a little bit? Yeah. Because we're really starting to lose you. We just have a couple of minutes left.
Okay.
Maybe just shift a little bit. I can hear you a little bit better, yeah.
Can you hear me?
And by the way, Gavilan Molina is also on the line. We're all listening to you, trying to hear as best as we can what's going on the ground in Cuba. We care a great deal, Gloria, that you are there and that you are doing this kind of extraordinary humanitarian work on the ground. But maybe give it one more shot, but it's breaking up pretty bad.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, a little bit, yes.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the thing. China has provided thousands of solar panels. They're not here, like 2,000 to 3,000 watt, and they're getting installed in every polyclinic of the country. And there's more systems getting set up, also being sent to homes of children who need it, older adults with critical care. The country is working very hard. I'm just very impressed with the attitude of people. It's true that you won't have a universal support for what's going on. Some people have just grown tired. But this country is not falling, nor will it fall. And that's what many people say. Now, on March 21, it's going to be a big gathering of hundreds of people coming from Latin America, from the United States. The People's Forum, the International People's Assembly, is bringing dozens of young people. We'll be here as well. Everyone's going to come to express our solidarity, bring the solidarity aid that we can, and many people from Europe as well. This country has inspired millions around the world, has saved millions of lives, including in the United States, has trained doctors from the U.S. for free, has just expressed unlimited solidarity, and so it's our turn now to return our solidarity and not only provide material aid, but fight this evil, monstrous blockade.
All right. We're going to leave it right there. We've been speaking with Gloria LaRiva. She is in Havana, Cuba. She is bearing witness to what's happening on the island, even as the United States government repeatedly at all levels of the federal government announce potential attacks on Cuba, illegal attacks. It is a sick situation, but we're doing the best we can to report on it. We've also been joined by our own Miguel Gavilan Molina. Earlier on, we spoke with Richard Becker. You all listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're going to take a very short musical break. We're going to come back and talk to a veteran who is deeply engaged in trying to resist this country's and Trump's penchant for expanding wars. Yeah, that's what's going on here. War everywhere to distract from the fact that he could end up in jail as a child molester if some of the things that we're hearing about are true. Stay with us. And you are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. I think Gavilan is still with us. Okay. It's me and you, Jerry Condon. Jerry Condon works with Veterans for Peace. They've condemned the U.S.-Israeli attacks on Iran, called for widespread resistance, and issued its own Iran war talking points. Joining us again is Jerry Condon from Veterans for Peace. Jerry, you were in, well, you were in the region, you were traveling in the region, you were in Venezuela not too long ago.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start here? You want to start with Venezuela. What were you doing there? What did you see? What did you learn?
Yes, well, first of all, Dennis, I'd like to start out by giving a big shout out to our dear friend and fellow veteran, Country Joe McDonald, who just left this world a day or two ago, but is still hovering nearby. And with your indulgence, I'm going to sing the first verse of his famous anti-Vietnam War song. Come on, all you big, strong men. Uncle Sam needs your help again. He's got himself in a terrible jam way down yonder in Iran. So put down your books and pick up your gun. We're going to have a whole lot of fun. And it's one, two, three,
what are you looking for?
Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Next stop is Iran, and it's 5, 6, 7. Open up the pearly gates. Well, there ain't no time to wonder why. Whoopee, we all gonna die. There you go. Shout out.
Anybody have any doubt what you're listening to? If you do, you're hearing Jerry Condon, Veterans for Peace, celebrating the life and times of somebody who wrote one of the most important anti-war songs, I think, in history, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, Country Joe McDonald, that was a big one. And he had some other good ones, too. So, you know, U.S. imperialism is on a global rampage under the Trump-Rubio-Hegseth administration, as we've just heard outlined very well by Richard Becker and Gloria LaRiva. You know, that on January 3rd, the U.S. attacked Venezuela. It killed hundreds of people, kidnapped its president, Nicolas Maduro, and his wife, Celia Flores, who are both now sitting in a Brooklyn jail awaiting trial on trumped-up charges. The U.S. is holding a gun at Venezuela's head while stealing its oil and its gold. I just returned from a peace movement delegation to Venezuela last week, and I saw the damage that was done by U.S. missiles and bombs, one of which fell very close to a nuclear reactor. And so this blatantly illegal aggression was followed up very quickly by the U.S.-Israeli attack on Iran to seek regime change there or to totally destroy the Iranian nation. That's not going so well, and as Iran is hitting back hard and promises to outlast the U.S. and Israel. Now Trump is talking about Cuba. He thinks that Cuba, that has been greatly weakened by U.S. sanctions and an oil blockade, will be easier to defeat than Iran, and maybe he can claim a real victory there. So everyone who believes in the sovereignty of nations must defend Venezuela, Iran, and Cuba from these blatant acts of aggression. The danger of nuclear war, which was mentioned before, cannot be dismissed. We have two nuclear superpowers, Israel and the U.S., who are waging war on Iran, and purportedly to stop it from developing a nuclear weapon. So that's like the height of hypocrisy. And who would put it past Netanyahu or Trump to nuke Iran if they had their backs against the wall? I know I wouldn't. So it's a real concern. All this warmongering is totally illegal and immoral. Veterans for Peace is reaching out to military personnel. We put up billboards outside of military bases around the country, including Travis Air Force Base. That there's a big billboard right outside the gates of Travis that say refuse illegal orders. And let there be no doubt about it, in an order to deploy an illegal war is an illegal order. So we're calling on members of the military, our sisters and brothers, our children and grandchildren, to listen to their inner voice, not to the military commanders who are telling them, believe it or not, that Jesus anointed Trump to wage war against Iran and lead us to Armageddon. That's what's actually happening in 40 or 50 different units the last week. Over 200 soldiers and sailors and Marines have called in to complain that they're getting this kind of
Christian nationalist garbage preached to them to motivate them to go to war against Iran. Veterans for Peace stands ready to support soldiers, sailors, and Marines who follow their conscience and have the courage to say no to an illegal war of aggression. We're part of a network of legal and counseling organizations, including the GI Rights Hotline, Military Law Task Force, and the GI Rights and the Center for Conscience and War, that can advise service members of their legal rights and their legal options. And they do have legal options. We can help them apply for conscientious objector status. We can help them leave the military, possibly even with an honorable discharge. We will help them if they decide to go AWOL, which sometimes is a good choice. It's the choice that I made back in 1969. Go AWOL and then return later to be discharged from the military. We encourage military members and their families to call the GI Rights Hotline. Can I give that number? 877-447-4487. Once again, that number is 877-447-4487. You can also find the GI Rights Hotline online at GIRightsHotline.org. So, you know, it's not just military members, but civilians and veterans who have the right and the responsibility to resist illegal wars. And we know that resistance in the military is usually proportional to the resistance that's going on in society overall. We encourage everybody at this critical moment in U.S. history and
to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operation and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communication Act of 1995.